right, welcome back for part two, everybody. We're going to kick things right off, straight into green here. Aetherwind Basker. It's a mythic creature, lizard. That's it, just lizard. Four colorless, three green. 7/7 trample. It has, whenever it enters the battlefield or attacks, you get an energy. For each creature you control. And then pay an energy, and it gets +1/+1 until end of turn. So this thing makes a lot of energy, and it gobbles a lot of energy very quick. Do you like your limited bombs to have overkill, Jerry?
Yes, I do. I like my Palaka worms to not draw me cards, but rather make me energy that doesn't do anything. Because it just kills anyways.
Yeah. 7/7 trampler is going to murder somebody. And then on top of it, you're going to get something like 12 energy, probably.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
In a game limited. It'll be like 6 on enter, 6 on attack.
Yep. Like, it's going to be a... get 6 energy, pay 6 energy, here's a 13/13, die, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Awkward creature type is awkward for what this is doing. That's a big lizard.
Yeah.
It's like a, like, why is it not a dragon at this point?
Because it's Gojira.
Isn't that what a big lizard's supposed to be? A dragon? Just saying. A lot of flavor misses on the creature types, Watsy.
It's Gojira, man. He wasn't a dragon. He was just a lizard.
Yeah, I know. He was just a lizard.
Look, man, he's been basking in the aether wind, which is probably just radiation. So, yeah.
Just getting this radiation on. That's good. Oh, I'm going to put a nuclear power plant behind this card when I get him.
I mean, limited bomb is limited. You snap this off first pick and then pick a bunch of green creatures with it and call it a day.
Pick a big bunch of big dumb stuff like Sealed is supposed to be in this format. And draft too.
He's actually... Green's got some bombs lately, but this is a huge bomb, man. Like,
this is Death Incarnate, man. You untap with this, the game's gonna end in one or two turns. I don't see you losing with this at all.
I think one attack's probably gonna. Like I said, most limited games you have 4 to 5 creatures laying around, so he's getting enter, give you 4 energy, excuse me. And then you're probably going to untap. You have mana, so you're going to play another creature or two, and he's going to attack, probably make you 5 energy. So you just says, can you get +9/+9? Like,
so much power. So much happening. You know what?
Yeah,
I want to live the dream and have this and Lightning Runner and Limited together on the battlefield at the same time.
Oh.
I'm just gonna
get extra combats with the Basker.
I'm going to kill you so overkill. Like, the overkill on this is just... I mean, it's worth its mythic slot. Card rarities selected based on limited format makes sense to me.
Yep.
You can't have this at rare floating around in limited.
No. Somebody could get 2.
Somebody
or
could get
2 people each get 1.
Yeah, you get 2 knuckleheads running the room with this card. Real fun.
Yep.
Fun stuff.
Now we're going to move on to the card. This is actually a card I really want to talk about. Rishkar, Pima Renegade. 2 colorless and a green for a 2/2 body. Legendary creature, Elf Druid. Druid, love it for one. when Rishkar, Pima Renegade enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 target creatures, and each creature you control with the counter on it has tap, add green mana. So a friend of mine has been running this in green-white tokens, and it has been the nutters.
I can see that. What are the payoffs he's running alongside this? Because the druid effect is...
Walking ballistic, or whatever. Hangerback Shocker, whatever you want to call it.
I'm like, there's a payoff somewhere, man. He's paying... You can generate easily with this 10-plus mana. This is close
yeah.
to...
Well, not even that. Like, it curves both ways. Like, you play Hangerback Shocker on 2, this comes down after, puts it up to 2 counters, and it gets a counter on itself. So it gives you 5 power on turn 3 on 2 different bodies, one of which can shock at any time. And then also now you just have 2 extra mana for the next turn.
Boy,
so
it
jumps you straight to 6 mana potentially for like Fritter's Gear Hulks or Nissa or whatever else needs done.
Well, that's just silly.
Yeah, this card's been extremely overperforming from what I've seen so far.
So this might just be the best legendary creature amongst the cycle. I believe it.
Yeah, out of the cycle, I think it's definitely the best. Green had been shortened for ramp for a while, and this card ramps hard.
this card just kicks it into overdrive.
Yeah.
Powerful card. Strong stuff.
Especially because the clause of each creature you control with a counter, not a counter it gave. Just if it comes in with a counter, hey man, you can tap for mana now.
And even if you don't have anything you can give it the counters with immediately, you just play Nissa and be like, hey look, put counters on things. Hey look.
Everything's an Elvish Mystic.
Mana.
And once they're done tapping for mana, they attack really hard.
Very, very hard.
Yeah.
Great and standard. Oh, I wish Chris were here, because I think this is a great one of in, like, Elves and Modern. I think this is fine there.
Potentially.
I mean, it has all the hallmarks of doing dumb things.
You know what would be really, really dumb?
What's that?
Put two counters on Nidalee Sentinel.
Why is that so good? Wow.
So now Nidalee Sentinels produce mana every time they untap without Heritage Druid.
Don't need your help, boy. Get it.
Yeah.
So this is probably Heritage Druids 5 and 6 in the Elf Modern deck, even Elf Legacy deck.
More than likely.
All right. So this is the card I'm specking on hard now. I'm probably going to get like 8 of these.
And also it's a druid, so when I'm playing, you know, mono green druid and commander, I can run this guy with his best centaur buddy.
The deck that is so not you, but you're doing it.
It's combo. I love combo.
I know, but it's the mono green. You're like the least green player amongst all of us. I'm more green than you.
Yeah, but I really love combo.
I agree.
If combo, like, if my draws weren't so bad, I'd play a lot more combo.
Gotta live that life, man.
That's true. The format I've played the most green is Legacy. I've played mostly green decks in Legacy.
Yeah, no, you rug Delver. You play more you played more Tarmogoyfs in Legacy than I have, and I've played some Tarmogoyfs in Legacy.
Played more Tarmogoyfs in Legacy than I have in any other format.
The one format where it's actually worse, clearly. Or at least, like, I don't even think the Sultai control deck that Reed Duke won with even had Goyf in it.
I can't remember. Probably not.
I don't think it did.
Deathrite Shaman's all you need.
Yeah. Yeah, who cares?
And Leovold.
Deathrite, Leovold, and Baleful Strix, because 1/1 blocker, Death Touch for 2.
Charless Agent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so we digress. This card's great. It's good in every format.
I'm buying.
Except Legacy. It's not Legacy playable. But maybe. Legacy, it could be a spicy
Legacy
one.
Legacy Elves, man. That's a deck still.
Yeah.
I might just buy 8 of these. Seems silly.
Yeah. No, it and Nettle Sentinel can do some things.
Now let's talk about his crappy expertise.
I don't think it's as crappy as you think it is.
I think this is the worst expertise. Go ahead and tell us what it is.
All right, Rishkar's expertise. 4 colors, 2 green, sorcery. Draw cards equal to the greatest power among creatures you control. You may cast a card with greater mana cost 5 or less. Yes, drawing cards is meh. You're probably going to draw like 3 if I had to take an average just off the top of my head.
I'm not even on that. Like, we've seen this effect before where drawing a bunch of cards off of powerful creatures is a thing. We had this at 4 mana in Rise of the Eldrazi. And even if you tack this ability on it and put it at 6 mana, it's still not that good, I don't think. I don't think this gets there.
I think you completely underestimate how much value getting a 5-drop for free is. Like, this essentially, like, think about this in terms of mana. This is giving you 11 mana on turn 6 at least.
Okay. Like, I give you that. It does give you that mana. But, like, if you're bad.
And also, I like that the free card is after the draw. So yes. Even if you only draw 3, you're potentially going to find a better card to cast.
Yes. The reward for this card is higher than all of them, but this is also the one that requires you to be already winning. The other ones don't. Like, you know.
Well, once again, I don't think you already have to be winning. Like, even if it's just 3, like, that's reasonable. That's just a random creature. That's just, you know, that's they killed your best creature. And then you drew some cards. Like, I think in green-white tokens, they can run this as a one of easy.
No.
Because there's a lot of times where you can just end of turn, flash in an Avacyn, untap, cast this, draw 4 cards from your Avacyn, and play a Verdurus Gearhulk and tell them to go fuck themselves.
Yeah. All right. So, also, Reed Duke talked about this card from Channel Fireball. He's behind it, too. So, again, I'm not a pro. I could be wrong on this. However, I've been bitten in the butt too many times by momentous fall effects. I'm going to stay away from it.
Sure. And I understand, like, once again, it's a card that's very... I'm not casting this if I only have one creature, because it's probably not going to draw any cards. However, if there's any kind of board state involved, this card is all upside.
Like, do you know what I wish this card said? Up to three what? Target creatures you control fight three creatures your opponents control, then you cast the five drop or less, and you get that revolt trigger. Like, that's what I wish the card said.
Fair enough. Actually, I think this card is actually going to be played in green-white tokens. Because you can also... You can cheese this in that deck to where it's always good. And I'm going to plus Gideon. You can't kill this Gideon, usually, except for, like, Stasis Nair. Then I'm going to cast Rishgar's Expertise, draw five cards, and cast a Virtus Gearhulk for free.
And to a minimum, you will draw three in that deck. So if this is going to see play in any deck, it's going to be that one. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So I think the upside is there. In Limited, once again, you always take this.
Every time.
Limited, there's a lot more board stalls, and you'll have higher power creatures just laying around.
Yep, you will be able to draw a bunch of cards out of this. I'm
and
the
then
only
you're
going
to find a bomb or an easy 5-drop to cheat in. Like, yep.
I'm the only person that I know that actually blew my opponent out off of his Rishkar's Expertise. Like, he tried to cast it, and I wiped out his board in response. But that's off another busted card we'll talk about in a minute.
Fair enough.
It takes one busted card to stop another one.
Let's see what's next. Fair enough. Next up, we got Heroic Intervention. One colorless, one green, instant, permanency control, gain hexproof, and indestructible until end of turn. Well, I don't know why, but Wizards just really loves green to beat sweepers.
Yeah, it's just...
Like, just that's green's one weakness, is to get wrecked by, like, Supreme Verdict. And now it's not even happening half the time.
This card can exist because Yeheni's Expertise got printed. I'm fine with it because of that.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, this pulls double duty. Not only is it hexproof, so it stops one-for-one removal, then it also has indestructible, so it stops the majority of sweepers.
Yeah, the majority of them. Like, this is going to see
slash
some
combat, because instant speed, so you got to do this inside of combat after blocks or whatever.
Yep, this fixes you from a bad combat. This makes a combat better, and stops Supreme Verdict for 2 mana, like you said.
In the case of standard Fumigate.
Yeah, like I think Fumigate and its counterpart, the one that does the land awakening thing.
Planar Outburst.
That's it, thank you. Kind of just stonewalls them, so... If you're sweeping...
I feel real bad for... I feel so bad for those cards. It's like, yeah, they're 5 mana, so they're a little slow, so they had it coming. But they had just had it a hell of a time seeing play.
No, you're just... You absolutely killed the reason to play them. Like, we're going to have to play Yeheni's Expertise, which doesn't even kill everything.
Right. Yeheni's Expertise kind of fits the same spot as Radiant Flames. We're like, against certain decks, it's just the best card ever. But then against other stuff, it's not going to kill anything. Or kill, like, a random 1-1 that was laying around. It's going to kill a 3-bit Inspector, and then you're going to feel real bad.
Yep, you're going to feel real bad. You're going to feel terrible that them vehicles don't die underneath it.
Well, speaking of real bad, that's another segue, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Aid from the Coal. Oh, 3 colorless, 2 green, enchantment, revolt. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a permanent card, you may put it into the battlefield, otherwise put it on the bottom of the library.
If this could only be triggered a bunch of times per leaving the battlefield, this would have been sweet. Wizards, you ruined a golden opportunity. Yep. Card's bad.
Once again,
format.
I think this one would have been fine at once per turn the first time.
But it doesn't even...
Because then you can get into some... Because, like, then you can get into some goofy shenanigans where, like, something dies inside of combat after, like, first strike, and you randomly cycle into a creature that pumps another creature when it enters the battlefield.
Yeah, even... That's actually fine. I agree. Once per turn is better than just your end step. Nice timing.
Yeah.
The timing is awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Once again, we talked about it before. I think the end of turn revolts are garbage.
All of them. And this one's the worst one. I think, like, at least the white one is a glorious anthem that you have to work hard for. This is going to not hit anything a lot.
Or it's going to put a land into play.
Sure.
Your instep. Right when you need it.
Right when you need that land. It's going to do nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I don't even think this is playable in limited.
Nope. I don't think it's playable in anything.
Maybe if you're drafting and you just have like the sick, nastiest revolt deck, but like other than that, no.
I'm not even into No. Yeah. If you have the sick, nastiest revolt deck, you're playing three copies of Fatal Push and 12 Enablers. There's your sick, nasty revolt deck.
Speaking of sick, nasty, that's another segue, Jared.
God, your segues are gorgeous.
Green Belt Rampager. One green for a creature elephant. It's a 3/4. Whenever it enters the battlefield, pay 2 energy, and it is a must. If you can't, return it to your owner's hand, you get energy. So the fail state on this card is you cast it turn 2. Because turn 1, you cast it, you get energy, and it returns to its hand. Turn 2, you do it again, you can't pay the 2, it returns to your hand, you have 2 energy. So the third time you cast it, it sticks.
Yeah, 2 mana for a 3/4. Looks good. Yeah. I mean, it's basically what's going to happen. Unless you attune with Aether on turn 1.
Right, and then you can play it on turn 2 without, you know, you can play a tap land or something then too. But, I mean, the same deck that's playing this is going to be playing attune, so.
Yep.
Once again, its fail state is turn 2, 3/4 on turn 2 seems fine.
Very good.
And then it gets into the upside of combos with things like Long Tusk Cub. All right, rolling right along here. We'll go into Green Wheel Liberator. That's another pawn segue.
Gosh, these segues are glorious.
One colorless and a green for a 2/1 creature elf warrior with revolt. When it enters the battlefield, you get 2+1/+1 counters on it if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn.
Nice combo with your Green Belt Rampager, bro.
Yeah, turns out everything combos with that card. Anyway, now this card is another one that's pretty upside heavy. I mean, a 2/1 for 2 is probably not how you're going to cast it most times. But if you can enable this with, like, Renegade Map or, you know, another Enchant Land card that makes it tap for any color so you can sack it and draw a card.
Ooh.
You can just also play a 4/3 on turn 2 with this.
Yeah, you can. This alongside the Yeheni Legendary Suite.
Sure. Once again, not going to be played as a 2-drop there, but...
Agreed. Probably will not be, but... It's good for its rate. I don't know if it gets there and constructed, though.
If there's a deck that can get its revolt on fast enough, yes. As far as limited, I think you still play this card.
Yeah, you play this in limited every time. Because even if you're paying 2 mana for a 4/3 on turn 4, that's great. Great rate.
Yeah. It might be as early as turn 3 if you have like a 1/1 to attack with and they block like a fool.
Okay, like a fool. Got him.
Yeah.
Fool.
Yeah. Gotcha, son. Anyway, that's going to do it for us for... colored stuff. Now we're going to go into multicolor.
Yeah.
And this is also where our two planeswalkers are sitting. First one is a Johnny Unyielding. 4 colorless, green, white, 4 loyalty, planeswalker type of Johnny. +2. Reveal the top 3 cards of your library. Put all non-name permanent cards revealed this way into your hand and the rest of the bottom of your library. -2, Swords of Plowshare. -9, put 5+1/+1 counters on each creature you control and each planeswalker. We've been over this before about how much of a disappointment he is to me. So, yeah. You got anything to add, Jerry?
Disappointing. It's great and limited, obviously. Has to be mythic because planeswalkers are dumb there. But no.
Yeah.
The effects aren't worth 6 mana, in my opinion. The Swords of Plowshares effect, if it had been a plus effect, it might be worth it at 6 mana. But other than that, I'm not buying this. No way.
Yep.
I would rather play.
I mean, obviously play in limited. It will see some play in standard just because of green white tokens and things like that. But I would, like, it's fine for a sideboard one of.
I would rather play Yeheni's Expertise over this in that six drop spot, and I don't even like that card.
You mean Rishkar's Expertise?
Rishkar's, my fault. Thank you. Good correct. Okay. Good catch. I would rather play the six mana green Expertise over this than this itself. Like, no. Nah.
Gotcha. All right. Then we got Tezzeret the Schemer. Two colors, blue, black. Planeswalker, Tezzeret type. Starts with five loyalty, pretty high. Plus one, you get a colorless artifact creature, or token, excuse me, named Ethereum Cell. With tap, sack it, get a color mana. Minus two, target creature gets plus X, minus X, until the end of turn, where X is the number of artifacts you control. And minus seven, you get an emblem with the beginning of combat on your turn. You target artifact you control becomes a creature with base power toughness 5/5.
Go ahead.
I saw some of this on coverage today at the Star City Open, and it actually performed better than I thought it would in blue-black Colossus decks specifically. And I know people have been testing that deck as well. And, like, it actually wasn't unreasonable. Like, the problem I had with it was the ultimate doesn't win the game. But where I saw it shining was actually it just controlling the board with the minus ability to get rid of problematic creatures. Plus one, make some mana, some ramps, some random artifacts laying around to make the minus two the next time better. And just kind of float around and kill some things.
Yeah, generating values that planeswalkers have been always about. This is the first blue walker that I've ever seen that I can think of off the top of my head that generates mana this way. Good card is good, and I'm behind this guy at least a little bit more than a Johnny. I still think he's a little underwhelming, but clearly he's good enough where he made coverage.
Yep. He's good enough in Artifact Shell, and artifacts are good enough in this set. Alright, next up we got Dark Intimidations.
Nope.
Two colors, blue, black, red, sorcery. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or planeswalker, then discards a card. You return a creature or planeswalker card from your graveyard to your hand, then draw a card. And whenever you cast a bolus planeswalker spell, exile it, and it has an additional loyalty. So the second line text, not relevant until on cat. Maybe even Hour of Devastation, depending on when they release the bolus planeswalker. And the top ability, we've been over you like, I hate it. I don't see these cards seeing play.
Not, I want the entire card's effect to be relevant before it's even worth anything. With the top effect only being relevant, it's not good.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to see much play. Moving on, we got Oath of Ajani here. Green and a white, legendary enchantment for our newest member of the Gatewatch. When Oath of Ajani enters the battlefield, plus one counter each creature control, planeswalker spells you cast cost one less to cast. I've actually seen this in practice in standard now in green-white tokens, and it did underperform. It pretty much, for the exact things I talked about when this card was spoiled, it's not really a good two-drop, as it only affects certain cards in the deck, and you can just play a mana dork instead. And if you're just using it for the later ability of putting counters on things, there are just things that do that strictly better.
Yep. You were the one who said it. I was wrong. I thought this was going to be slightly better. I at least thought the Ajani was going to be playable to where this could be really super good, where you're playing 12 cards that you just made cheaper. But nah, we're not even there. Like, you make four cards that are already... eight cards total cheaper that were already cheap enough, and you'd rather be just playing a mana dork. You are correct.
Yep. So, and as far as limited concerns, Anthem of the Team is still fine. Like, but once again, it's just not a two drop, and you have to know that going in that this is not a two drop.
Yep. Yeah.
But you can break some board states with it, and then the Planeswalker one. I mean, if you're lucky enough to have this in a Planeswalker, yeah, your Planeswalker's cheaper. Good for you. Like, you're going to win anyway because it's a Planeswalker Unlimited. But
I did see my friend Kevin draft two of these. and not draft, I apologize, sealed two of these, and he performed very well. I think he went 5-1 with his green-white Oath of Ajani deck, and he played it right. Like, putting a bunch of plus one counters out is strictly good and limited. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep. All right, so now we're going to get into artifacts and the one land. So, starting off the artifacts at Mythic Kyr, we got Heart of Kirin. 2-drop, legendary artifact vehicle, 4/4 flying vigilance, crew 3. And you may remove a loyalty from a planeswalker to pay its crew cost.
Sweet.
Yep. It has filled the spot of Smuggler's Copter in most decks that I've seen so far. The ones that were really hurting were Blue 8 Flash, which just got nerfed enough that that deck's not really any good anymore. And the same kind of green white tokens. It's just really hard. Smuggler's Copter had the joy of getting crewed by 3-man Inspector. This card is not so nice to that. So it just kind of changes where it falls on the curve of what crews it. I haven't had any problems yet in red-black aggro with it, and that's been great.
I've been toying with this card in Copycat Aggro, which features the Saheeli Rai combo with Felidar Guardian, and it's just an aggro shell. Yeah. You know, I took the whole Dwarves crew, put a bunch of good vehicles in, and I put 4 of this in. I've been pleased with it. Card performs very well. Blocks for Saheeli very well as well, and just hits like a brick. If you wanted to have a 2-mana brick, you could throw an opponent. This is it.
Yeah, for sure. I had the joy of doing some testing with Weldfast Engineer, and there's several games I curved that, and my opponent was not too happy.
Nah, that gets pretty dumb. I can see how you just lose to that pretty quickly. Good aggro card is good.
Yep. Moving on, Aether Sphere Harvester. 3-mana for artifact vehicle, 3/5 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, get 2 energy, pay energy, it gets lifelink, crew 1. Hey man, you wanna win a game of limited?
Why? Why, Wizards? Why do you print a colorless dragon that every deck is supposed to play? Why?
Yep, with lifelink.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's nothing that you don't beat this in limited. I lost to it every time I played against it. I watched the guy playing it play matches with it, and every game he played it, he won. You can't. There's no reason this should be even printed. Like, the question here is this good enough for Constructed? My initial answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
There will be a deck that wants it, or at least in the sideboard to gain life.
I put it as a 3-of in Copycat Aggro. It was good there. It just took over for Fleet Wheel Cruiser.
Man, I still love me some Fleet Wheel, though.
I do, too. But I had to make some concessions with that deck to stick a combo in an aggro deck. So bear with me on that one.
Fair enough. Yep. Limited Bomb, probably standard playable.
Limited again, overpowered.
Moving on to another format.
6 out of 5, if they could ban cards out of Limited, this would have been it.
All right, next up we got Peacewalker Colossus.
Oh,
3 generic. Artifact vehicle, it's a 6/6, crew 4, 1 and a white, another target vehicle becomes an artifact creature until end of turn.
This is awfully close to Pack Rat and Limited for white. Thanks, Wizards. Thanks a bunch.
You have to enable it. However,
the enable is not that difficult. You just play other vehicles.
True. And I'm excited about this one in draft. Because I really want to draft this in Consulate Dreadnoughts.
Yeah.
Just call it a day.
It's funny how they're just sitting right next to each other on Mythic Spoiler.
Yeah. No, like, I just want to pay 2 mana and activate my 7/11s.
No, that was
smacking people around.
That was the feature of my limited deck, whereas I was able to play like a couple Prophetic Prisms, because I actually got a few. Got some white mana and was able to activate this on a Consulate Dreadnought a handful of times. Pure shenanigans.
Lucky you.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I saw someone else do the other thing with Consulate Dreadnought with the enchantment. So I'm like, hey, look, Stifle Knot, you're getting dead.
Oh, the red enchantment or whatever? Yeah.
They're getting dead quick. Yeah. I digress.
The cutest thing I saw with them artifact and actually beat me in limited was Untethered Express, which is also a heck of a bomb and uncommon.
Great card.
It's the 4/4 trample, crew one, and whatever attacks you put a +1/+1 counter on it. And there's the white creature that's like one and a white. It's a 3/1 and then it gives all vehicles flying. yeah, that's annoying.
That's great. Feels good to just pay two with your Peace Walker sucks. And just
throw it pummeled me in the face.
Hey, just throw a train at someone for two mana now. It's great. Good game.
No, trains. Well, it crews one, and that thing fires up anyway.
Yeah, if you don't have anything to crew it with, who cares, man? I don't know. Just pay two, throw a train, because I can.
I mean, fair. Another mythic here, Planar Bridge. 6 colorless, a legendary artifact. Pay 8, tap. Search your library for a permanent card. Put that in the battlefield. Shuffle your library. Yep.
Yeah.
Tron loves Tron. It. I know one person was playing it already in Tron, and it's been okay for him. So
I saw saw someone jam this in Eldrazi 12 post with Voltaic Key. It was funny. That was a great game of Magic.
Sure. If you could call it that.
I saw someone play this in Vintage Shops, because you can. As you can play vehicles and every other dumb artifact type that they made in this set. And Standard, this is a nice take on, you know, an additional copy or two of your Aetherworks Marvel. Like, this does just put Ulamog onto the battlefield.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I don't think it's good enough to Standard. You got to ramp pretty hard into that, so.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if it's quite there yet.
Maybe. I don't know.
But, yeah, this is way more Eternal playable than it ever should be.
And also EDH. Like, I don't even need to mention that. That's a given.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah, I'm
have fun, nerds.
Playing that in Brea, boys.
Yeah. Next up, we have Gonti's Aether Heart. 6 colorless legendary artifact. When it or another artifact enters the battlefield, you get 2 energy. Then you can pay 8, I believe. They don't label it. I hate Wizards for that. Exile it. Take an extra turn after this. I don't know if anybody else watched coverage, but Joe Lissette was playing Blue-Black Colossus and then won a game, and it looks really sweet doing it, because he just played this, plus the Tezzeret, made 2 energy, played a Metalwork Colossus, got 2 energy, sacked the Sanctum, got another one, played the second Metalwork Colossus, took an extra turn, and killed his opponent.
Yeah, this is a neat little Time Sieve. Very good take on Time Sieve. Takes a little bit. And it's not quite as broken, but I mean, it can win in Standard, clearly. Like, originally I was very like, no, this is very bad, very cheesy and cute, but I was wrong. Good card.
Yeah, no, it helps the Metalwork Colossus a lot, because that's the problem of, okay, I cast 3 Metalwork Colossuses, I hope you don't have Deccan Stone or something. Now you're just like, I take an extra turn, you don't get a chance to Deccan Stone. Like,
you get nothing, you get to die.
Yeah. So it definitely put in more work in Standard than I ever thought it would. So, good job, Gonti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, we got Paradox Engine. 5 colors, legendary artifact. Whenever you cast a spell, untap all non-impermanents you control. This is actually, I'm surprised, hasn't seen more play in Standard yet, but it's week 1. We'll see what the Pro Tours bring for combo, just because there's so many combos with this card in every format ever. Yeah. So,
chaining things as things. Like, I'm
the ceiling is real high on this card.
Yep. This is probably going to get restricted to 1 in Vintage just because of the words on it.
Yeah. Like, probably.
Can you imagine like playing a Gush list where you get to just untap all of your Moxen after returning 2 islands? Like,
that seems problematic.
Yeah, just I don't see this lasting long in Vintage. At the very least. Ugh.
Yeah, especially like you could just be like, Ancestral Recall, untap all my Moxen. All
right. Storm we go. Wait a minute. Storm. Yeah. I needed to add a card to my Storm list. There we go. It's happening.
All right. Then we got Lifecrafter's Bestiary. 3 mana, artifact. At the beginning of your upkeep, scry one. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may pay green. If you do, draw a card. This card overperforms. I didn't expect much of it. I honestly just kind of missed it in the spoilers. You know, I figured it was kind of bulky, but in limited, this card's great.
Great and limited? I think it might have standard application. I mean, I'm willing to pay one more to just replace a creature.
Yep.
I'm all
once
about
again,
that.
Combos with the stupid elephant.
Oh, yeah, elephant.
Because you just pay two green, draw a card, and get an energy.
And then it comes back, and then you do it again.
Yeah. Pay two green, draw a card, get an energy.
Feels good, bro.
Nope, I don't like all this card advantage in green.
Yeah, because that's what we give green, the blue effect.
Yep. Yep, play unlimited, constructed, we'll see. Yeah, that's where it stops. Oh, EDH loves it.
Yeah, sure, once EDH, again. Cheesing.
Yeah. Next up, a card that has me excited for several reasons. Hope of Ghirapur.
Hey, me too. What's up, Randy Quaid?
Yeah. One colorless legendary artifact creature, Thopter, 1/1, flying. Sack it until your next turn. Target player who's dealt combat damage by Hope of Ghirapur this turn can't cast non-creature spells. So, one, it's another legendary artifact creature, which is few and far between for commander players.
Yeah, man, I want a command. I want this as my commander. Woo! Doing things. Yeah.
Two, this combos super well with Tezzeret's Bad Touch. I've discussed it before where you can just kind of loop this and keep your opponent off casting non-creature spells. Like, what is your control opponent going to do if they can't counterspell you or sweep you each turn? Like, while you're being aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a Xanted Swarm on a stick. So if a deck wanted a silence effect that couldn't have it before, now it can.
Yep.
So Modern, Legacy, the ceiling is there for you. Vintage,
yep.
You get the idea.
All right. Maybe even Affinity? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a...
It's really hard for your opponent to Shatterstorm you when they can't cast spells.
If they can't cast that Shatterstorm or that Ancient Grudge, it'll feel real bad. Maybe it does play Affinity.
I mean, I think it's sideboard playable for sure.
Yeah, at the very worst. At the very worst. I think it could be mainboardable. We've played worse creatures in Affinity.
Yep. Now another card that super overperforms, which I should have known better with Hangerback Walker, but Walking Ballista, XX, Artifact Creature Construct, 0/0. Enters the battlefield with the X +1/+1 counters. Pay 4 mana, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Remove a +1/+1 counter on it. Deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
Hey, bro, I heard you like fireballs. So here's a colorless one that every deck in Limited can have. Thanks.
Sure. I'm actually more impressed in standard implications.
I'm impressed
once
everywhere.
Once again, in green-white tokens. I just watched this thing just machine gun down the energy deck, the green-red energy combo out of the green-white player. He was just, Oath of Ajani, throw some extra counters on here. Nissa Minus, throw some counters on here. And it just got to the point where he just had 8 mana and was just like, every turn I get 2 counters on this. I have shock every turn against the low toughness aggro deck, and it looks real bad.
Yeah, this has a very actual Umezawa's Jitte feel about it. Like, feels that way. I could be wrong, but paying 4 mana on turn 4 to put 2 minus 1, put out 2 +1/+1 counters on this, and then giving something to do with mana that you have nothing to do with it in next turns, it's great. And then, you said, machine gunning the way through the field it did, card's dumb.
And also, it works better with Avacyn than Hangerback Walker ever did, because you can do it at instant speed.
Yes.
I need to shock you in the face and flip my Avacyn. Okay.
So, I pulled this in Limited. Every game I played... Excuse me. Every game I played with this, I won, and it killed a minimum of 3 things.
Yeah, no, card's great.
Card's great. Colorless Fireball is colorless and Fireball. Thanks, Wizards.
Yeah.
Way to make Limited unfun.
Yeah, they've been dropping the ball on that one. Actually, I've been wondering for a while what Watsy does now, because they're not testing Standard very well. They're just super ban happy right now. And, like, their one job is to design a set for limited, and they're fucking that up.
Yup.
So, I don't know. Like, does anybody even work at Wizards? Is it just monkeys?
I don't think they work, man. I think they throw a freaking dartboard at a wall and say, this is what we're going to do.
They throw the whole dartboard at the wall?
Yes. Yes, actually. I stand by what I say. They throw the dartboard at the wall. Not the dart at the dartboard like the card. Like, hey, look, the card from Unhinged. Hey, look at me. I'm R&D. No. This is, you throw the dartboard at the wall. And you and it smashes and you pick up a piece and hope for the best.
Anyway.
That's my...
Inspiring statutory. Statuary?
Statuary.
We're going with statutory.
Statutory.
I like that.
It's gonna feel,
I like that better.
It's going to feel like statutory when you willingly sit there and I beat you with my combo deck with this card.
Anyway, three colorless artifact, non-artifact spells you cast have improvise.
So, I'd like to point...
You get a bunch of artifacts, this card's deck. Oh. Or, I mean, this card's great.
I want to point out credit where credit's due. I can't remember the guy's name, but... someone had messaged us on our Facebook page, and he asked why this isn't in my blue combo list. This gives all my zero drop artifacts, my zero drop bone saws and Cathar shields specifically. They produce mana at this point.
Yeah,
like that's insane. I want to pay one for my paradoxical outcome. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Why are we sleeping on this, Jerry?
That was your job. I completely missed this, and then he pointed it out, and I'm like. Well, crap. I got another card. This card, Modern and Legacy even, like, the Modern Cheerios deck, like, I think this goes in it. It's like a 2-of. Just because it puts you that far over the top on mana. Like, it doesn't completely force you into, like, if you can cast this, alongside, like, after paying a bunch of mana with your Moxen, you don't need your Moxen anymore because the legend rule has always kind of kept those out. Like, you're free. You're free to do whatever. That's pretty great. That's great. This card's great.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Wizards. Thank you for giving me a toy.
I'm going to say mediocre at best, but all right.
No,
in your opinion, it's great.
It goes into the one deck that I want it to go into. It goes into nothing else. Yeah. I don't think you play this anywhere else.
No.
Limited. No. Limited, this does nothing.
It's a chromatic lantern or whatever you want to, like, any 3-mana rock, because it will itself will tap to produce one colorless for your non-artifact spells.
Okay, so chromatic lanterns, your artifacts. I'll give you that. Sure.
Yeah, and it itself is a rock at that point. Like, it counts itself. You know what I mean? Like.
Yep, counts itself
worst
as a rock.
Worst case scenario, this is 3-mana, generate a colorless mana for non-artifact spells.
Yep, just like Chromatic, well, a lot worse Chromatic Lantern, but Chromatic Lantern itself tapped for mana.
Yeah, like, what was the one in the Gatewatch one that you could tap for a colorless and then it scryed? It's like that.
Oh, the Seer's Lantern.
Yeah.
Wow, I remembered that.
I don't know.
I think I played this game
too
much.
That could be wrong, I don't know.
No, I remembered it. It is definitely Seer's Lantern.
Okay, I'll take your word on
it. It's the worst lantern ever.
Anyway, I see the next card. Merchant's Dockhand, one colorless. Artifact creature construct, 1/2. 3 and a blue, tap. Tap the creature, then tap X untapped artifacts you control. Look at the top X cards of your library, put one of them into your hand and the rest of the bottom of your library in your order.
So did the blue-black artifacts deck play this at all?
No.
Then no.
It is 2-mana intensive.
Card does nothing?
Yes. Right. I mean, it's fine and limited.
I don't even think it's fine.
These
there.
Effects in limited are fine because, like, there's going to be board stalls, then you're just going to, like, try to get out of them.
Sure. But it helps you get out of them. I mean, if this finds your Walking Ballista or your Aethersphere Harvester, I'm all about it.
I mean, it's put one into your hand so it can find a piece of removal or whatever you need.
Yep. This Crew's Aethersphere Harvester, it's got that going for it.
Sure. I mean, I think it's still playable and limited. Actually, I don't even know, because the shocks are going to be running around limited.
Exactly. Like, I wasn't even behind it there. Squires aren't great in this limited, as is. I don't think they're going to burn a shock on this, though. Like, I think this is so bad.
I think I will when they have 4-mana and a bunch of artifacts laying around.
That's you. You're a smart man. most limited. Most players aren't smart, right?
All right, Jerry.
Nah, you're probably right. Four mana, yeah, you're definitely right. Four mana up, this is going to see a shock every time.
Yeah.
You get one card out of this.
Next up, we got Metallic Mimic. 2 for an artifact creature shapeshifter 2/1. As it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. It is a creature of that type. Each other creature you control of the chosen type enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it.
Nice.
It's an interesting lord.
Like it's better than the what was the adaptive automaton? It's better than that. Cost one less.
Yeah.
And the +1 stays on them.
Yeah, I think giving everything +1/+1 is strictly better than putting a +1/+1 counter on things that enter the battlefield after it. Because, like, if you draw this late, it doesn't affect the board at all.
True. It's a terrible top deck.
Yeah.
This is a creature type. Eldrazi is a thing still. Could this put Eldrazi back on the map and constructed for standard?
I don't know. This is probably better than Mimic, right?
I mean,
better than Eldrazi Mimic. I mean,
I know what you meant. I was honestly thinking you just play both of them. Play Mono Colorless Eldrazi. And just play both of them because you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it curves. Curves really well into the deck.
Yeah.
Like, making Reality Smasher a 6/6 Trample Hasty is a dirty thing to do to people. Thought Not Seer being a 5/5 is very hard to deal with. Like, it was already hard. Now it's really hard.
I mean, it still gets pushed with Revolt or Grasp of Darkness, but...
Yeah. But,
I mean, it can dodge Grasp if they don't have it with the trigger on the stack, though, so which is nice, but...
Yeah. But,
I don't know, maybe.
That's where I was seeing the card most, like, I was like, huh, this could just make Eldrazi good again in Standard, so...
Could.
Possibly.
Yeah, not unreasonable.
I would like to try it.
Fair enough. Next up, we got Scrap Trawler. 3 colorless artifact creature construct, 3/2. Whenever it or another artifact control is put in the graveyard, or goes to the graveyard from the battlefield, returns to your hand target artifact in the graveyard with a lesser converted mana cost.
At least they worded this way safely.
Right. It cannot get itself. It cannot loops. It cannot.
cannot loop with Lion's Eye Diamond or Black Lotus, people. There is no.
Yeah.
There is no Bomberman here.
Yeah.
As far as an artifact aggro list, like, this is an interesting 2 of out of the sideboard for Affinity in Modern.
Yeah.
Like, this
gets cute with Ravager.
Yeah, it gets great with Ravager. Holy crap. Like, oh, I'm gonna sack my Springleaf Drum to recur an Ornithopter to sack the Ornithopter, you know? That's awesome.
Does if you sack an artifact Ornithopter, do you get back Darksteel Citadel?
No, they're both 0 drops.
Okay.
I do know that one. I do know that answer. Nice try.
That's why I was like, wait a minute. How does that work? Because they're both 0, but one doesn't actually have the cost. All right, yeah.
Yep, cards without cost are treated as if they do have one. And
fair enough.
Whenever it applies.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's
that's it for artifacts,
round it out here with Spire of Industry. It's a land. Taps for a colorless. You can pay a life and add mana of any color to your mana pool. Activate this ability only if you control an artifact. This is a sweet role player that'll see playing Standard and Modern.
Does this card replace Glimmer Void in Affinity?
No. It doesn't replace. It can be played in addition to.
Played in addition to. Okay. What do we take out in said case?
Not a lot. The mana base on Affinity is real tight.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's a great, like, I see this being great if you can't afford Glimmer Voids. Like, it's a great alternative to it.
Sure. I actually really like it in Lantern.
I do, too. Funny enough, you mentioned that.
Because most of the time I need colorless mana, and when I want colorless, I don't, like, it's basically a 5-color pain land in Lantern control, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like, it takes us off of Llanowar Wastes, where we don't really need that.
Yeah.
Like, we were already playing Blooming Marsh to get out of it anyways. Lantern Land, great. Affinity, okay. Did this see play in the blue black constructed list? Okay, I figured it did.
Yep, and I play it in red black aggro because I'd run a random amount of artifacts.
Yeah, any deck that plays artifacts can play this if you're in multiple colors. So there you go.
Yeah.
Not a great pick in
solid role player,
but fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably wouldn't take it in limited unless you're trying to splash a color or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't draft this, but if I'm sealed and I need a mana fixing, this gives me that.
Yeah. For sure. And then
a bunch of inventions.
Well, and the random Planeswalker deck ones that don't matter.
Yep, nobody cares. Well, there's one last thing we do have to mention. The, what was it again? The Kaladesh...
Oh, the...
What was it again? Sorry.
I want to talk real quick, since we got a little bit of time, about the uncommon multicolor cycle.
Oh, go ahead. We'll do that.
Yeah, because they're actually... they're very all very, very playable and limited. And then also, strong majority of these are constructed playable.
Yes, I agree.
Winding Constrictor, black green 2/3. If one or more counters would be placed on an artifact or creature you control, that many counters plus one are put on it. And then if you would get one or more counters, you get that many of those counters plus one instead. It's great in standard. People were playing in green black aggro. Already week one, I knew this deck existed because like this curves into Rishkar. It does real dumb things.
Yes, it does. A little something to note with this. We found this out because we were wondering how it worked, but if two Winding Constrictors are on the battlefield, it does not infinity loop itself, but it does add two counters, which is still very strong.
Right.
The card's already got Narada on it because it was just worded so stupidly, but card's strong. I don't. There's a lot where this just happens.
Yeah, definitely constructed playable. It's even limited playable. There's enough counter stuff rolling around.
Yeah,
in green in this limited format that you can play this.
I seen it. It was a thing.
Yep. The next one is Maverick Thopterist.
Why is this thing's name Maverick when it's blue and red?
Don't ask questions, Siri. Three colors, blue and a red, creature, human artificer, 2/2, improvise, and when it enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 Thopters with flying. So with limited, this is just mom and pop all over again. It's just a lot of value across a lot of bodies, especially if you're in a blue kind of improvise-y deck anyway. You're making more artifacts to improvise, and yeah, it's just a solid card in limited.
Yep,
four
power.
Don't think it'll see much constructive play, but...
Even then, some people were actually talking about it. I mean, it can be in the right build, 4 power and 4 toughness for 2 mana.
It's true.
So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't see play, but I wouldn't be surprised if it did either.
Right. But definitely great and limited.
Definitely great and limited. This is almost, like, the uncommons in this set are so powerful, this almost sees play over all the rares. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, it beats a lot of rares out.
For sure. Next up, we got Spire Patrol. 2 colors, white and a blue. Creature, human soldier. Relevant typing there, twice.
Twice.
It's a 3/2 flyer. When Spire Patrol enters the battlefield, tap target creature and opponent controls, and it doesn't untap on the next untap.
The detain on this is strong.
Yeah.
Like
big tempo, relevant creature types, and a flyer. Great and limited. The 4 spot is real tight in white, so I don't think it's going to see constructed play. There's just too many good white 4 drops.
Probably not. I agree. 3 power flyer for 4 mana is undercosted and limited. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Constructed, this is just not better than just Cella, Gideon, anything else in white.
Yeah, like, you're just not. That's not happening in constructed. Too many cards to that 4 drop spot.
Yeah. Then we got a sweet pilot edition to red white vehicles, even though they lost copter, but this does have 3 power, which is relevant for Hardikirin. Anyway, Renegade Wheelsmith, 1 red white creature dwarf pilot, so he also gets pumped by Dapala. It's a 3/2, and whenever it becomes tapped, target creature can't block this turn. So when it attacks or crews a vehicle, something's not blocking.
Yeah.
So it can really push through some damage.
If you get really coy with this, you like crew your Heart of Kirin with another card, and if they try to block with their Heart of Kirin, you let their crew resolve and hold priority before blocks, then crew with Renegade Wheelsmith and make it not block. Like, that's great. Great card. A lot of skill test here. It's also a 3/2 for 3. Like,
yep.
Really? That's strong for the cost.
It's a 3/2 for 3 that when it attacks, something's not blocking. Like,
yeah,
it's a very aggressive creature, that's for sure.
Yes.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't also see standard play.
Agreed.
Depending on, you know, what red-white vehicles turns into, if it exists at all, we don't know yet.
Don't know, but the cards are there for it. We can try. We can make it happen. We can rebuild him.
Next up, we got Hidden Stockpile. White and a black. Enchantment, Revolt. At the beginning of your end step, if a permanent you control left the battlefield this turn, create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token, and pay 1, sacrifice creature scry 1.
Said it once, we said it a bunch of times. Revolt effects at end of turn suck.
It's true, but I had this on my limited pool, and I was in black-white, and it wasn't the worst thing.
Nope, this is probably the best one, funny enough. I agree with that.
Yeah, of the end of turn revolts. Just because... basically, the pay 1, sac creature, scry 1. So at the end of your turn, you sacrifice the servo this thing makes at the end of their turn to scry to fix your draw, or you can do it in your upkeep, however you want to do it.
I think you do it in your upkeep to set up for the next 1/1 no matter what.
Yeah.
Card combos with itself, that's nice.
Yeah. It's just basically pay 1, scry, and have a chump blocker or an artifact for any text that need an artifact or, you know... Oh, and then also it sets up other revolts, like the Enter the Battlefield revolts.
Yes, it does. I agree.
Yep, so it's just a good enabler. Then we got Outland Boar, 2-colorless red, green, for creature boar, 4/4. Can't be blocked with creature's power 2 or less. This is the weakest of the bunch, unfortunately.
And that's not saying much. This card's fine for being the weakest.
Oh, it's great and limited.
Oh, yeah, okay. Constructed, no. Limited...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, honestly, I could see any of these being constructed playable except for this one, unfortunately. Actually, most of these are constructed playable. And that's why I really wanted to talk about them.
Yep, I agree with that.
Then we had...
Yeah,
4-4. No, go ahead.
4/4/4, power 2 or less. Actually, a lot of creatures in this format are 2/3s, so in limited, this gets a lot harder to block than it should be. So this might be, like, in limited in comparison to all these, this might be the better one. It's like Outland Boar is not going to get blocked by anything Maverick Thopterist does.
Gotcha.
It's not going to get stopped by Hidden Stockpiles 1/1s.
No, I understand. Not getting chumped. That's a mechanic that we've had before.
This ain't getting chumped. I like that.
All right. Next up, we got Tez's Touch. As I call it, Tez's Bad Touch.
Tez's Bad Touch.
One... Blue-black, enchantment aura, enchant artifact. It becomes a creature with base power 5/5, and if it is put into the graveyard, return it to your hand. It's an soul artifact with a little bit of upside for the extra mana, so.
It's funny, because in soul artifact, like, people talk so much trash, like, oh, this is cute, it's not going to see standard play, and it ran a whole summer.
Yeah. And still played in Frontier.
And still played in that non-existent format in my mind. Okay.
I mean, if I was going to play it, I might play that deck, because it runs Bowmat Courier and Ensoul Artifact, so I'm about that life.
Ensoul Artifact does see some play in Modern, some, with a different affinity lists like the toy with it.
It's a fringe affinity.
It's always at 59th, 60th card. Tezzeret's Touch won't replace it ever, but... being able to get that artifact back is just super strong. Like, makes you want to play this.
Yep. I just want to loop some hopes. You know, loop Hope and Kirapor with this bad boy.
Randy Quaid coming back from the dead to dive bomb the ship again.
Right. If you weren't dead enough, you're dead now. You're
really dead. Take 10. Do nothing.
Nice. Next up, we got Rogue Refiner. 1 colorless, green, blue, creature, human, rogue, 3/2. When enters the battlefield, draw a card and get 2 energy. Do you like value? I like value.
So out of all the multicolor uncommons, this one is the most playable to me in Constructed. Because if you really, like how I mentioned earlier that you could play Aethertide Whale or whatever it's called, the flying whale in this set, you could put that in Marvel deck. This card gives you more reason to put blue in Marvel. Like, gives you two energy, draws you a card, and gives you a 3/2 body to boot for three mana. There's no reason, there's no rhyme or reason why Marvel can't play blue at this point.
No, Marvel plays this card now.
Okay.
100%.
Then, yep, they play blue anyways. Called it.
Yep.
Saw zero coverage and saw this card going in that deck.
Yep. Next up is my personal favorite, Worldfast Engineer. One, a black or red. Creature Human Artificer, 3/3. At the beginning of combat on your turn, target artifact you control gets +2/+0 until end of turn. I like beating face. This beats face.
This beats face.
Yep.
Have you seen
it? It's a 3/3 for 3 always, which is a solid rate for an aggressive aggro deck, and then it
makes your Heart of Cure
shocks.
Hit for 6.
Essentially, yeah. Well, it essentially just shocks when it comes into the battlefield if you have Scrap Heap Scrounger or, you know, Heart of Kieran or Beaumont Courier or something. Like, it already gets value when it comes in because nobody plays around it. They don't expect your creature to get bigger.
Nope. Never. Card's powerful.
Yeah, if it lives after that, it's pure upside because then you get to pump the weakest creature, so it affects what they block and kill, and, you know, it just changes combat.
Get to turn things sideways still. Yep, you got it.
There was multiple games that I just turn 4. Here's a 7/3 trampler with Fuel Cruiser. Deal with it.
Yep. Can't really deal with it. I'm getting beaten to death.
Yeah. Then we got Renegade Railer. Rallier Railer. I don't know.
No. Railer is fine.
Railer.
I will accept this.
1 green, white, creature human warrior, 3/2 revolt. When it enters the battlefield of permanent you control of the battlefield this turn, return target permanent card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Why is it so dumb? Just dumb things.
Dumb things. Dumb permanent card, 3/2 for 3.
Especially in modern.
No.
They just die all the time.
Stop it, Watsy. You stop it.
If, like, man, Scarlet, like, I'm actually glad Aristocrats is not in Standard anymore. It doesn't need these cards.
Yeah, like, had Aristocrats still been a thing, jeez. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah. This card's got a lot of potential, especially in Modern, because its fail state is always crack a fetch, get back the fetch, so it's a ramp spell on top of a body.
Ha.
And, like, yeah.
So does this just see play in Coco? Like, I think it does.
Yeah.
Like, I think you just play 2 to 3 of these in Coco. Just because you can. If you need to trigger it, you can just sack off Viscerous here. Oops.
Yeah.
Did I just oops the format?
Maybe. Yeah. If Aristocrat's going to come back, it's going to be a card to do it. So, yeah, once again, all these uncommons, super playable. So, like, it's definitely a cycle that's easily pickable over rares. Like, there's a lot of rares that are just bulk and not good. And this uncommon cycle outshines most of them.
Yeah, most of these uncommons almost are always, like, you pick it over the majority of these rares. Like, it's very hard for me not to want to pick Renegade Rallier or Rogue Refiner or Maverick Thopterist or Outlander Boar. The whole cycle. Who cares? Yeah. So much power at this uncommon level. Like, it's funny, too, because mentioning the power of uncommons, the expected value of this set would be nothing without Fatal Push and other pushed uncommons.
I agree.
Like, it was funny that it was mentioned, because without Fatal Push, the set wouldn't be worth anything. Like, it's the uncommons that make this happen. That's a good and a bad thing.
It's funny, because just the other day I was talking about how I thought to make Standard good again, Wizards need to push uncommons. We needed playable uncommons again, and we didn't have them. And then we got this set.
We got playable uncommons.
I'm happy.
The gripe has been heard. I'm happy. Ish pleases me.
Yep. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us.
Oh, hold on. One last thing. The contest that Rob put out last week, we have our contest winner. If you PM'd us on our Facebook page with the word expertise, you had a chance to win, and our winner is Mary Reinhardt. Mary Reinhardt, if you could PM the Snapcast your mailing address, and Rob will mail you the prize. I can't remember exactly what the prize was, but I think it was a series of the Kaladesh starter decks or something like that. There's more details of it on the Facebook page. But
yeah. I was out of the loop on that one.
Yep, I know. It's been a while since we've had you. But Mary Reinhardt, need your address info so Rob can send you that stuff.
Also, congratulations. Woo!
Woo! Yay!
Yeah.
Magic and things.
Yeah. Anyway, keep listening to us, guys, and we're going to keep doing giveaways and things like that. So if you win free stuff, listen, you know. Usually the entry is give us, you know, feedback or, you know, post something or share it or whatever. So it's not even hard. Take a little bit of time out of your day. Show us some love. Win some stuff. It's great for everybody. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out other places. All right, guys. See y'all next week.
Oh, shit.